Foundations Lesson Number 2, Prayer, Part 5. If we're successful in overcoming those hindrances that would try to prevent us from praying, we then have a new set of obstacles to face. By the way, prayer may not always be easy, but it's always worth it. If it were always easy, everybody'd be doing it. Colossians 4:12-13 says this, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. These verses tell us that Epaphras was wrestling in prayer, and his doing so was described as working hard. Wrestling supposes having an opponent. Was his opponent the flesh? The devil? Godless thoughts? Sensing in the spirit was hindering these Christians from standing firm in all the will of God? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we do know that it was hard work and that he was persevering through the difficulties. The new set of obstacles we have to overcome deal with factors that would try to reduce the quality of our talking to God and communing with God. Several of these are listed under Roman numeral number 5. The first hindrance is sin or iniquity. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. 1 Peter 3:12 For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Ezekiel 8:17-18 He, the Lord, said to me, Have you seen this son of man? Is it a trivial matter for the house of Judah to do the detestable things they are doing here? Must they also fill the land with violence and continually provoke me to anger? Look at them putting the branch to their nose. Therefore, I will deal with them in anger. I will not look on them with pity or spare them. Although they shout in my ears, I will not listen to them. Also, Jesus was very clear that those who prayed out of a desire to have a good reputation did not please God. Matthew 6:5-6, Jesus is speaking, he says, And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Next, asking God for the sake of personal pleasure doesn't please the Almighty. James 4:2-3 says, You want something, but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Some people who don't actually have a right relationship with God still pray. Not surprisingly, they're capable of doing some bizarre or downright wrong things when they pray. Jesus mentioned that when he said, Matthew 6:7-8, And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I'd like to point out here that Jesus himself prayed about one topic for a full hour, followed by two more stints of time, which we don't know how long they were, perhaps two more hours, all praying, quote, the same thing, unquote. You can see that in Matthew 26:36-46. The difference is that Jesus, unlike the pagans, didn't think that he would be heard because of his many words. He had full confidence that the Father was hearing him whether he used many words or few. But the situation he was praying about was so incredibly important and it had such enormous consequences that devoting that kind of time and energy in prayer to the Father was completely warranted. I imagine the burden on Jesus' heart was intense for the whole 3 hours or however long it was that he prayed. This is contrasted with the pagans who engage in mental gymnastics thinking, well, if I use 900 words in prayer rather than 600 words, God will be 50% more likely to hear and answer. Let's remember, prayer is relational, not mechanical. Speaking of matters of relationship, the next hindrance to prayer has to do with the way we treat others. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Have you ever had a wandering mind when you were trying to talk to the Father? I imagine that everyone who's prayed for any significant amount of time has experienced the fight with undisciplined thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 5 says this, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. I'd like to offer two concrete suggestions that I've found helpful in combating a wandering mind in prayer. The first has to do with your perception of God when you pray. Is he uninterested in you? Far away? A vague blur? Do you feel that you have to convince him or trick him into listening to you? None of those pictures are correct. But if you picture God accurately as being eager and delighted to hear from you, you'll find a great change in your attitude and you'll have an easier time focusing. There's something about gazing upon an individual who's fully attentive and joyfully anticipating every word we speak that helps us stay focused. The other suggestion is to pray out loud. The prayer can be spoken quietly, and you may have to close the door to your room for privacy's sake, but there's something about hearing the words with our own ears that helps us stay on track. The last paragraph on our outline says, since the matters of knowing God's word and communing with God in prayer are so incredibly important, all believers are encouraged and exhorted to spend at least 30 minutes every day dedicated only to Bible reading and at least 30 minutes additionally every day dedicated only to prayer. The Lord is worthy of our time and our undivided attention. I believe the number one sin of the church in many parts of the world is simply prayerlessness. In your life, prayer and Bible reading won't just happen. You have to choose to discipline yourself to make them happen. If we love God enough, we'll find a way. If you're a new believer, you may have difficulty praying more than just a few minutes, but please work at increasing your time talking to God and communing with God until you reach the goal of at least 30 minutes a day. Before closing this lesson, I'd like to mention some items that are available in the additional resources section of this webpage. Since the Foundations lessons have a time limit of about 1 hour, which is insufficient to include various practices and principles of prayer in this lesson, these practices and principles of prayer have been covered in an addendum. This addendum is in 3 parts, consisting of the addendum outline where you can follow along, and 2 spoken lesson files where you can listen to the teaching. No teaching on prayer would be complete without at least some mention of Jesus' prayer life. So the next 2 documents do that, giving the 22 instances recorded in the Bible where Jesus prayed, and the 8 of those occasions where we actually know what he said as he was talking to and communing with the Father. Since this lesson has dealt almost exclusively with individual prayer, and since praying together with other believers is also vitally important to a healthy prayer life, I've included a document that gives helpful instruction when praying corporately. Leonard Ravenhill, has had some very powerful things to say about prayer, and some of them are written out in the document entitled Prayer Grasps Eternity. Lastly, if you're ever inclined to study the scriptures further on the subject of prayer, a more scholarly document has been included in two volumes, which gives all the passages in the New Testament that deal with the subject of prayer. I'd encourage you to check out all of these additional resources. Amen. God bless all of you.